Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate. Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And I'm here with our co-host, Madison Bennett. Maddie, how are you?
I'm doing well, Drew. How are you?
Is that your motto? I don't need no diamond rings?
Yep. Don't need one, don't have one.
Anyway, we're here on an open show, Maddie. That means our listeners are our guests tonight. They get to direct the conversation. Tonight, they get to say, you know, this is a topic that would be important to me. If you answer this question, it could be extremely helpful to me. And so if you want to call in, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680 is the way to call in and to direct the conversation tonight in a topic that is important to you. And always keep in mind that there's probably 10, 15, 20, 30, who knows, whatever, many people out there probably want to hear the same question you're going to ask, but they just don't have the moxie to call in and ask the question. There are people like that. They're just intimidated to do something like that. There's a lot of other people that thrive on it. So, those of you that are willing to call in and ask your question, you're going to not only help me and Maddie, challenged by the questions you ask and help you, but you're probably going to help 10, 20, 30, who knows how many other people that wanted to hear the same answers to your questions. And Maddie, there are a lot of topics we could go over, but I guess you already have our first caller up here.
So we do.
You want to go to, and Rebecca's one of those people that thrives on asking questions. She's always there and she always has great questions.
She's a loyal listener. All right, here we go. Hi, Rebecca.
All right, well, thank you for the nice compliment, but you asked me to call you in a couple weeks about my Medicare problem.
Yep.
It's very interesting what happened. I'm not getting into politics. One of the people I called just told me basically they can't help me at all. And the other person I called said, you know, you have to fill out a HIPAA form and we'll be more than happy to help you. It's amazing. You just can't, like, it's not one-stop shopping anymore.
No, it's not. And I apologize. Normally, the staffs are incredibly helpful, regardless what political party they are.
Right.
But yes, you always do have to fill out a form in order to get them address it. But if you do it, and I don't know if you did, you'll be amazed at what they'll do once they get that. And I expect somebody fairly high up from Medicare to be calling you to rectify your problem as soon as possible.
Yeah, now I'm going to ask the person that I spoke to that's responsive, do I need to wait till I get the bill? Because right now they said this is not a bill.
Remind me again what it was all about, because I can't remember.
Well, my husband died of colon cancer, and they denied his palliative care.
Okay.
So, that was prescribed by a doctor at Johns Hopkins. So the reason they denied it was because they never got the information, I guess, to, like, fill out the claim or something. But that was not anything I could do. That was between them and the doctor. So
right.
So you told me to, like, you know, just kind of, and I am confused. So, like, when I called these people, I said, you know, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And the one person I called was totally not responsive. And the other person's just been extremely helpful. So that's what I'm waiting to see if I'm actually going to be charged this amount.
Yeah, well, that would be important too, okay? So if you're not charged, then there's nothing you have to worry about. But if they send you a bill, that's when you'd want to, and you know, you also have the situation that if you have a bill from the doctors and it was strictly for your husband's, it's not necessarily your responsibility if you didn't sign off on the liability for the medical care at the time he went into service. Or, yeah, into the hospital.
I understand. Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, and he had, like, really good coverage. He had, you know, Medicare, and he also had supplemental. And he was always concerned because this had happened to us one other time where he was denied coverage for it. Was, you know, because he couldn't swallow and eat. You know, he had to have this special, special food that we had to put through a pick. But anyway, I mean, that's...
Right. Now, keep in mind that there's two different things. You know, if Medicare is denying the bill, then that's where you want to bring in your legislators and so forth. But if your supplemental insurance denies the excess, that's a whole different story. That's a different approach that we take to deal with them.
Golly willikers. I don't know how much time I have, but I also tell you that because I'm I'm not computer literate, okay, and I always thought I could either go to the newspaper or go in my phone book and get the numbers of my legislatures. That doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, really? No, yeah, well, you know, I always just do it online, so I can pull them up easily. So I understand what you're saying, though. It's not as easy to get them. But you just ask one of your 10 or 12-year-old granddaughters or sons,
right.
You know?
And they don't even have field offices anymore.
No, they don't. You're absolutely right, you know? All right, Rebecca. Good question. Thank you. So, Maddie, we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in, direct the conversation like Rebecca was just doing there. There are plenty of topics right now. So, you know, you said earlier, end of year tax planning and stuff, mm-hmm. and we're doing a lot of that right now for our clients, aren't we?
We are.
So, you know, that's a fun, we have, you know, I have 150 tasks that I've got to look at, you know, and the end of year tax planning is not just a simple thing, because there's like 25 different strategies you have to think out for each and every client that you're working with. Is this going to be Roth conversions going to work, or QCD is going to work? Do they have too much income that could pop them over the Medicare IRMA limits, or the lose out on the AOTC and all this kind of stuff, you know? So that's mm-hmm. something that we're, you know, that you need to be thinking about right now. Also is the Medicare Part D drug plan open enrollment period. So, and every year you need to go in and search your formulary of what prescriptions you're going to be taking in 2022, because a lot of people don't realize that Medicare D drug plans are based on each individual drug and how much they're willing to reimburse on each one, whether it's generic or name brand, and they can change it. So one day they could be paying, you know, 95% of a drug, and the next year they could only pay 75%. It's totally their choice to do it. And if you don't know it, next thing you know, you get to 2022, you used to pay $2 when you picked up your prescription. Now they're asking for $25 to pick up the same prescription, you know, and that's why the formulary and going in and searching your drug plan every year is important. There's lots of other topics, company benefits, et cetera. But right now, we have to take a pause. But I just want to let you know, lines are fully open right now, 410-922-6680. But we got to go to traffic, and then we're going to be right back with more Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. So we're on an open show tonight. We have a couple callers online, but we have plenty of lines open, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. I'm here with my co-host, Maddie Bennett. And Maddie, you got your CFP credential, what, about 2 years ago?
No, about a year and a half ago, so March of 2020, right before the world shut down. So I slid
got in
by
there in the nick of time, right?
Yes, yeah. I did.
And so now you're training for your second credential, because in our firm, we like all of our people to be well educated, well trained, well certified, and you're getting the certified financial therapist credential.
Correct. Yep. So yep. I'm working towards that now, and it's just the first level. There's three parts. So I'm working towards, it's sort of just a base knowledge of what financial therapy is and how to incorporate it into what we do with our clients.
Yeah. And we say it all the time when we start a seminar, the way you think about money will determine everything you'll do with and for money. It's the foundation of all financial planning, that you have to understand your thinking about money in order to understand how to make sure that you most efficiently utilize what you have.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it'll be great to continue adding that type of professional service to our clients. But right now we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. Let's go to who's next.
We've got Chuck from Towson. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, Chuck. There.
Hi,
Drew.
How you doing?
I'm good. This is your old friend, Chuck. My financial advisor moved to Florida, so I thought I'd call you to get some advice.
The BFF himself. Anyway,
right.
You're going to try to stump the advisor, eh?
No, actually, I had three questions written down, but we're out driving around, so I can only remember two of them right now. The first one, we get our health insurance through my wife's Baltimore City School's retirement plan, and it changes every year. Right now we have Aetna Advantage, and I've learned that when you have an Advantage plan, this is my question, does it apply to all of them? When you have an Advantage plan, Medicare no longer applies. Is that your understanding?
No. I mean, it sort of does and sort of doesn't. So the way it works is, when you have original Medicare, you have Medicare. You have Medicare A and Medicare B and Medicare D, and then you have a Medigap, okay? So that's original Medicare. When you have Medicare Advantage, okay, like you say, Aetna Advantage, Aetna steps in and works with Medicare to provide all your care. So it's all bundled in one in the Medicare Advantage plan, and Aetna is overseeing it, and they get reimbursed from Medicare as part of the Advantage plan. But, you know, it's sort of a win-win for Aetna and Medicare, not necessarily for you.
So I still have to pay the Medicare premium.
Yes, you do have to pay the Medicare Part B premium, absolutely.
Okay, very good. Second question, completely different, long-term care insurance. Every year, I have a policy for myself and one for my wife. Mine has been a lot longer, so it pay less. Hers, we just got in the last few years, so it's like a $5,000 premium once a year. And they all send something once a year that says, your benefits are now this. If you want them to remain the same, your new premium is X.
Right.
It goes up almost yearly. And my question is, and I'll talk to you about this when I meet with you, but wanted to hear your answer now, is do you just blindly accept that? How do you know?
Well, that's an interesting question. It's an interesting question. It's quite complicated also. So it depends on how the plan is structured, okay? So there are some that have automatic increases, okay, every year. It automatically increases, and it just rolls along. It's a 3% increase, it's a 5% increase, and it's compounded, or it's simple, you know, and so forth. And it just happens. Now, what the insurance companies are trying to do now is say, hey, by the way, if you don't want that to increase, we'd be more than happy to bring it back a little for you, because they've learned over time that it's costing them, that every time that increases, that's more liability risk they have in the future. Okay, so that's one part of it. But then there's another part of it. So some policies have what's called a automatic increase, but you have to choose every year whether you want that increase. And the issue with this one is you have to understand the terms of the policy as to whether you can turn them down too often. And if you turn down more than some, most of them say more than twice, then they will never offer you another increase again. So again, it's to their advantage to continue to ask you, do you want these increases? So the answer to your question is, it depends on the policy you have, and then what are they actually asking? Are they asking to just to scale it back to protect them from, you know, having a greater risk in the future? Or are they asking you to accept it? And if you don't accept it, then they can stop offering you increases in the future if you don't accept it more than, you know, deny it more than twice or something of that sort. So it depends on the policy.
If their daily allowance in the nursing home or the long-term care facility is, let's just make up a number, $200 a day, then the yearly premium comes around, and if I want it to stay at $200, I have to pay more. If I want it to come down, if I want to keep paying the same premium, then my daily allotment might be $175 a day. You're saying if I turn them down twice with the increase?
No. It depends.
Stop asking?
And it depends on the company and the policy that you have. If you have an automatic increase, either compounded or simple, and they're just doing that to stop you from stop you from allowing that policy to get more and more benefit, then it's irrelevant. You could turn them down 100 times, or you could ask them to decrease it 50 times, et cetera. But if you have one of those policies that you have to choose to accept the increases, you know, over a period of time, and if you say no too many times, then they don't have to offer you anymore. So it depends on the contract. All right, my friend, I'm going to see you in a while. All right. You take care. Great call. Great questions, actually. Who's up next there, Maddie?
All right. We've got Keith from Severna Park. Hi, Keith.
Hi. Thanks very much for taking my call. Just one quick question on Social Security. My wife started taking hers at 62 because she was no longer working, and she reached full retirement age in March of this year. I reached full retirement age in September, so I applied for my Social Security. And we were both accepted, and we were expecting her Social Security to go from her $700 a month up to about $1,500, but we just got the determination it's about $250 less than what we had expected. Is there any, we don't have Medicare Part B.
No, I understand exactly why that is, okay?
Okay.
So let me explain. So your wife went in and collected off her own account at 62 years of age, okay?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Now, once she did that, she accepted a discount on that amount of benefits of her own account forever, okay? Now, she goes back in when you went in and started to collect Social Security, and she says, my half of my husband's benefit is more than my own, so I want his half. And they say, okay, we're going to give it to you, and we're going to give you $1,500 a month. Oh, wait a minute, Mrs. Keith? Wait a minute, Mrs. Keith. You took your benefit a few years ago, and we discounted it by $250 because you started early. So there from $1,500 of Keith, that $250 discount will continue for the rest of your life. And that's why you got the less money, is because she went in and collected on her own account, and that's the way those two benefits work. The spousal benefit and your own account are sort of one in the same. Once you accept the discount on one and you go back and get the higher amount later, that discount will continue with you for the rest of your life.
That was my question. I appreciate your answer. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Good question, though. Excellent question. And who's up next there, Matt? Oops. I'm way over time. Chris is gonna scream at me. John, you're going to have to wait. Hopefully you do wait. Then we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. We're going to be right back. Money, riches, and wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli here with my associate Madison Bennett, and we're on an open open show. Open show means you're the listener, you get to be the guest, you get to direct the conversation anywhere you want it to go. And if you want to call in, there are lines open, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. And there's lots of great topics to talk about right now. You got your end-of-year tax planning. There's lots of things you need to be thinking about. You got your Medicare Part D drug plan. As now's the open enrollment, you've got the exchange, the medical exchange for the Affordable Care Act credit. And if you can get your income down below, let's just call it $65,000, depending on how many people in your family, maybe even as many as $85,000, you can get the government to pay a large portion of your medical insurance, no matter what you're worth. We have clients sometimes that are worth $2-3 million, and we get their income down below $65,000. Next thing you know, the government's paying, you know, $1,500 a year, and our clients are paying $300 a year for medical insurance. But those are the kind of things that you need to know and understand this time of year to be doing that kind of stuff. You got your company benefits, and now's the open enrollment period for that. There's lots of things to talk about, but we're going to go to John and find out, is he still there?
Let's see. John is still here, yes.
John is still here.
Here we go. Hi, John.
I wouldn't leave you guys. I wouldn't leave you.
What can we do for you, John?
Okay. Estate planning question. Like I'm in my 70s and I got to make some, I really got to get going on estate planning. So I got a daughter who's in her 40s, not in great health. She's not too swift on money management, and her husband's even worse. And they got a couple kids who are like 10 or so. So the question is, I want to be able to leave some money, especially to the grandkids. If my daughter should get sick or pass away or whatever, I don't trust her husband.
Well, that's real easy.
This money. So
that's real easy, John.
Things I should be thinking about.
Yeah, so what you're going to do is what I would recommend, and I don't know your situation, but the general idea of what you're going to do is you're going to set up a trust for your daughter and your grandchildren, okay? And you're going to choose a trustee who is totally disassociated with your son-in-law, et cetera, et cetera. And that trustee will have discretion to give money out to your daughter and grandchildren as the trustee deems the way John would have wanted it done. And so that's where you're going to really have to be really careful, is finding somebody to be the trustee that, and one suggestion is stay away from banks. Probably the worst people on earth, and I hope every banker out there, trustee banker that they're listening, probably the worst people on earth is the bank trustees, PNC, M&T, you know, Bank of America. These people are the worst trustees you could ever want for your children and so forth. So, you know, you have to find a way to come up with trustees that you can count on and will understand what you're looking for and what you want to do. And but this discretionary trust, if your daughter's health really takes a negative turn and she needs government assistance, this discretionary trust should be able to help her with that too, if it's properly written. And somebody I've had on my show in the past, Raj Gul, he would be excellent for your situation. And he's a very good guy, and he's great to work with. So if you gave Chris, our producer, your email, we'll send you Raj's information, and you can contact him and see if he can help you with that, okay?
Great. What is the caution about, the bank trustees? Fortunately, I have a couple of sons.
They
would be okay.
Well, the bank trustees, the things I don't like about them is they're expensive. They're overtly cautious about everything. They're very controlling. They like to make a lot of money off of your relatives every time I've seen them. And, it's just I tend to find them to be just the worst trustees. Every time I run into them, they're just the most pitiful investment people. They tend to do high-cost products and so forth. They're pitiful. I've never seen a good one in my career. Now, I could be, you know, I know I my associates tell me, Drew, you're always in the what's the word for it? You know, emphatic. Emphatic. They're the worst. There's nobody worse than the banks. I know that, but I'm just telling you, they're the worst. Anyway, so, well, all right, John?
Raj Goul, is that right?
Raj Goul. He's a great guy. And
G-O-U-L or something?
G-O-E-L. G-O-E-L. But if you give Chris your email if you want, he'll get it, and Maddie will make sure you get Raj's contact information. He's with the firm Offit and Kerman out of Maple Lawn, or he's also in Bel Air. He's also in Towson. They've got offices all over the state. All right?
Fabulous. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Good question. Have anybody else there, Maddie?
We do. We have quite a few. We've got our next one up is Craig from Westminster.
How you doing?
Very good. Hey, I was wondering, I know it's going to be an increase, I think 5.9% in Social Security next year. So
right.
How much are they allowed to increase the Medicare premium? By the same amount, or can they increase it more?
Well, there's a no harm thing. So, and this is if your income is below 100. Are you married or single?
Married.
Married. So as long as your income's under $178,000, there's a no harm clause. So they can't raise Medicare more than what the premium is. What the Social Security increase is. And they always
right.
try to keep they're going to increase Medicare. And you know they're going to pop it up a good bit. But they'll probably try to leave a fair portion of that, so because they know that the constituents, the voters, will get up in arm and just rip into every politician if Medicare tried to raise their premium too much. So I'm
right.
expecting about a 2% increase out of Medicare. That's my guess.
I thought they'd do the whole 5.9%.
They have the right to do up to as almost of that, but I think they're going to try to do their best to keep it. And what they're doing is they're just hammering anybody making over $178,000 married
right.
or over $85,000 or $88,000 single. That's the people they're hammering. All right.
I have one more quick question.
Go ahead.
So I cashed in a few savings bonds. And I think I'm going to owe about $1,000 on federal taxes. I know I could send in some money now, or I could wait until next year. But how about, my wife works part-time, how about if I just increase her federal withholding? That won't set off any alarm with them, right?
That's fine, but you're probably, you know, if it's an unusual situation this year, you're probably under what's called safe harbor, and there would be no interest penalties because you've probably paid in the same amount you've paid in taxes last year, you've paid in this
right.
year, and that's yeah. called a safe harbor, and you could pay the taxes in April if you wanted to. But I don't know that for a fact. So if you want to be careful, I would raise your spouse's withholdings between now and the end of the year.
Right. So you could raise that to an unusual amount, and that would
yeah.
off any.
Yeah, if the employer will allow you, they may
right.
have their rules as to, oh, no, we only accept the W-4 that says, but actually, you can always sign a W-4 that says married and two plus 200 extra per pay to come out or something
right.
like that.
Okay.
So, all right?
Great. Thank you.
All right. Let's see if we can get Kathy there. All right?
All right. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I have two questions. The first one is, I'm going to retire March 1st.
Okay.
Can I sign up for Medicare now to be effective March 1st?
No, normally it's 3 months before. Are you going to be 65? So you're already over 65 and you're going for a special enrollment, right? Okay, so you have to wait until you're about 3 months from needing it. So I would say December or January you'd be able to go ahead and sign up.
Okay, and then the second question I have is, I will be 69 in June.
Okay.
Should I wait and take my, I'm okay financially. Should I wait and take my Social Security in June, or should I do it March 1st?
Either one, it really doesn't matter. You can also wait until you're 70 and get the maximum amount if you want. But it really doesn't matter. It's only a few minor percent increase between January and March. And also make sure that when you leave your employer now, make sure you get an L-564 signed by your employer saying that you get the option to do a special enrollment with Medicare B. And also you need a credible coverage letter saying your prescription plan with your current medical insurance is as good as Medicare D, so that you can get a Medicare D plan without penalty also.
Okay. Oh,
all right.
One other thing.
You're gonna. If you want to hold on and ask, I got to take my pause right now. You want to hold on?
Yeah.
All right. She's gonna hold. Right now, we got to go to traffic, and we're gonna be right back. Money, riches, and wealth.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Eagles Hotel, California. Anyway.
Great song.
We're here. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show, and we're going back to Kathy and answer the last of her questions. Kathy?
Okay. Someone told me that if I get, say, Medicare G, that
right.
it would be the same thing no matter what company you went with. Like if United
right.
Healthcare had G, it might be
so
$300 a month.
Right. So you're absolutely right. The way they did it, and you're talking about Medigap, not Medicare, Medicare A, Medicare B. A is for hospitals, B is for doctors, D is for drugs, and then you get a Medigap policy with a private company, and it's an alphabet soup of Medigap policies. And the ones that most people get is Medigap G. If you live in Maryland, if you live in Pennsylvania, you want Medigap N. Very long reason why, but just take my word for it. And you're absolutely right, Kath, is that no matter what company you go with, it's the only thing that matters is what is your premium and what is your customer service, because it is exactly the same policy.
Okay?
Okay,
thank you.
All right. Good question, though. Excellent. And everybody should know that who gets on Medigap. So let's go to Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Yes. Hi. I have a question about Social Security survivor benefit divorced.
Okay.
I get Social Security, but I'm disability.
Right.
And now they told me, they sent me a letter, my ex died, and they told me to come in and apply for.
We were married to him more than 10 years, correct?
Oh, yes, 34 years.
34 is more than 10. So, okay, go ahead and ask your question.
Well, I wanted to know whether I still get it if I get disability.
Well, do you think he made more money than you?
Oh, yeah, no question.
Well, then you're going to get more money, so run. Matter of fact, be there tomorrow morning standing at their door asking them to give you your new benefit.
You can't get through to Social Security right now. The local office is closed, and if you call the national number, they put you on hold for 30 minutes, and then they hang up. And that's been going on since May.
You're absolutely right, my friend. I understand exactly what you're saying. But, you know, you can't do it online, can you? So here's the trick I use, okay? I call them exactly at 7 a.m. in the morning. The minute my computer says 7 a.m., I hit speed dial to Social Security Administration. And you normally will get through within 10 to 15 minutes to somebody.
Well, I'll try that.
Try it and see.
Am I even eligible because I get...
Oh, absolutely. You see, they'll take your disability check away, but they'll give you the higher amount that he was getting for the rest of your life. So let's say you're getting $1,200 a month and he was getting $2,500 a month. You're going to get $2,500 a month for the rest of your life.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
I can't wait for them to tell me that.
Yeah.
They have a formula on the computer. I was trying to figure it out. And they told me to put mine in and put his in, and they would tell me how much.
Yeah, well, but you know, how old are you?
I'm 67.
Oh yeah, you're gonna get the full amount that he's getting, whatever it was. You're gonna get his full amount. So go for it, get it quickly. All right.
Okay, 7 o'clock and tomorrow.
7 a.m. Get on that phone. Hit speed dial. All right. Let's go to Tim there, Madison.
All right. Hi, Tim. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you, Drew. Thanks loads for that great advice you gave me a couple of months ago on taking that the annuity. Rather than my the lump sum for my death benefit, it saved me a little over $25,000. But listen, I've got Social Security right now, and I also have I've got Medicare A and B.
Okay.
And as a backup, I've got Care First, but my prescription plan is through where I retired from, the state. Am I better? But you know, ever from the time I started there, when the copay was like $2, I mean that thing has skyrocketed. It's awfully expensive. They had a lawsuit because they tried to do away with people over 65. But am I better off going with the Medicare C, or should I keep the prescription that I have with the state?
Well, you should. If you have prescription with the state, then you also have your Medicare supplemental with the state, right?
Is that, well, all I know is that I have A and B.
Medicare A's for hospital, Medicare B's for doctors, okay? Then you have Medicare supplemental through the state, because if you have Medicare, if you have drug plan through the state, then your Medicare supplemental is probably through the state, and it's Care First.
Okay, all right, that's how it works.
So that's usually how it works.
Where I am, rather than making any changes.
Yeah, at this point in time, unless it gets outrageously expensive, I don't think you're going to benefit yourself by doing anything else right now.
Okay, thanks, Drew. Appreciate it. You're the best.
All right, you take care. I mean, you know, you got to really see the situation. But I don't have a single Maryland employee retiree that I've recommended to consider leaving the Medicare supplemental plan and the Medicare drug plan with the state to go do something else. But he's right. Maryland has been trying to fight and kick people off of the drug plan because it's very expensive to them, and throw them onto Medicare D. But they haven't been successful in that yet. So anyway, I hopefully that works out for Tim there. Yeah. We don't have anybody else online, right?
Nope, no one else.
And we probably don't have any more time to take anybody else online.
Nope, so about a minute and a half.
Let's address some other questions that we talk about, okay? What some of the things that we could talk about right now?
Well, I know today was a big day in the crypto world. Didn't Bitcoin hit an all-time high today?
Yeah, well, you know, so here's my theory, who knows what. I'm not a big Bitcoin fan. I don't even understand the whole concept of owning cryptos. They say, well, it's a limited supply, and therefore the price is just going to go higher and higher and higher. Well, my answer to that is, yeah, it's a limited supply of Bitcoin to some degree. They could actually increase it if they want to. But it really would take a consensus amongst a lot of people in order to do that. But here's the other thing. They can create a new Bitcoin every day just put a different name on it, Litecoin and Ethereum and Moderna and so forth, as they're already out there. There's 4,000 or 5,000 cryptocurrencies, and they can create one every day. So how limited is a cryptocurrency You know, and they say, well, Bitcoin's the most widely accepted, but it's nothing. It has nothing. It is nothing. It's only somebody's belief that it is something, and they're crazy enough to pay $66,000 for it. I just don't understand it. I don't understand the whole concept. Do you know, Maddie, that there are people that buy virtual real estate? There are people that buy pieces of virtual land in a computer simulation. Can you imagine?
Sounds like an oxymoron to me.
Yeah, and there have been purchases for $1 million. Crazy. A virtual real estate. Does that make any sense to you?
Not at all.
Well, then Bitcoin is sort of the same to me, but, you know, I could be wrong. It could go to 50 million, so I'm not going to sweat it if I don't own it. Anyway, Maddie, you are a great guest host, as you always are, and we got to run. So this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. And Maddie?
Good night, everyone.
Bye.